Oh, it feels weird not to pray that prayer for kids. Kids will pray for you when we get the prayers. Well, good morning. Welcome to Trinity. My name is Mike, and this morning we're going to continue through our fall sermon series in the Sermon on the Mount. And so if you have a Bible, I'd like to invite you to open it to Matthew chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free to hop up and grab. There's a stack of them in the back. So you can feel free to hop up and grab a church Bible so you can follow along with us. Matthew chapter 5. This morning, I'm going to work hard to be direct and clear and to the point. So while you're flipping to Matthew 5, let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this morning, for the chance to gather in worship. I pray now, God, that as we turn our attention to your word, that as my words fall in line with what you would have us hear this morning, I pray that our hearts, minds, and ears would be open to receive those words and respond. And God, I pray that if I say anything that isn't from you, that those words would quickly be forgotten. And I pray all of these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. It is in these verses that Jesus tells his disciples, that he tells us what he thinks about the scriptures, what he thinks about the law. Now, it's a setup, it's an introduction, because in the passages that follow, Jesus is going to explain and interpret and apply the commands of the law for his followers. But first, let's remember where we've come from, how we've gotten here the last couple weeks in the Sermon on the Mount. I like how New Testament scholar Dale Bruner describes it. In the Beatitudes, that was a couple weeks ago, we are given God's love. In the commissioning of the salt and light passages, we're sent out to share this light with the world. In the Beatitudes, we are united with Christ for the world. In the salt and light commissioning, we are united with the world for Christ. It starts with God's mercy, God saying who we are, God blessing those in desperate need of him, and inviting us, commissioning us into his purpose, telling us who we are. We're salt and light. He has made us this way. He's called us into it. He's empowered us to be it for the sake of those who don't know him yet. This is where the Sermon on the Mount starts. It's where we've been the last 2 weeks. And it's the momentum needed to live out the commands that follow. It flows from grace of these beginning sections we've discussed the last 2 weeks into the next several weeks, where Jesus will expound on the commands of Scripture. And the teaching that holds these two sections together, the grace of the Beatitudes, the you are salt and light, and then the commands that are to follow, are these four verses where Jesus explains what he believes about the scriptures. Now, these scriptures right here, these words, are grace. It's God's gift to us when we don't deserve it. His words spoken for us and to us, his glory given to us, unearned, initiated by God. That's what grace is. And these words here in the Bible reveal his story, the story of God's love for us. They also reveal his way of living. Now look with me at verse 17. Jesus said, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." For thousands of years, there have been those who have tried to do away with the teachings of Scripture. It was true in Jesus' time. It was true during the early years of the church following Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's still true today. Some of the teachings in the Bible are difficult and or culturally unpopular or seem old-fashioned. And Jesus is about to interpret and explain the foundational commands of the Old Testament. That's what the next chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, which we'll get into starting next week, gets into. Jesus' interpretation of the Old Testament law as summarized in the Ten Commandments. Now, Jesus will say several times in the coming verses. You have heard it said, but I say. He's going to say that over and over again. And so he wants to make clear right here in the beginning, before he begins teaching on these commands, that he isn't planning to undermine them or to write them off. He hasn't come to abolish the foundational commands of the scriptures. He says that right here in verse 17. How many times does he say it if you're looking at a Bible? Twice. He says it twice. He repeats himself, right? He hasn't come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. What does that mean? Here's my first point this morning for those of you taking notes. All the promises of the scriptures, all the commands of the scriptures, and all the hopes of the scriptures find their meaning, their purpose, their hope, their fulfillment in Jesus. Let me say that again, if you're taking notes. All the promises of scriptures, the commands of scriptures, the hopes of scriptures find their meaning, their purpose, their hope, and their fulfillment in Jesus. He hasn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Here's what I mean by that. The Old Testament law and the prophets and all the commands and the stories found in them, they all point to Jesus. They find their true meaning in Jesus. And Jesus shows us in his life how to live, how to walk, and how to obey God's commands. He perfectly exemplifies God's way of living, and in doing so, demonstrates the real meaning, the true meaning of the law and the prophets. Jesus also shows us in his death the consequences of our law breaking as he pays the penalty for our sin in his death on the cross. You get that? In Jesus' life, he shows us. In his death, he fulfills and shows us and promises. And lastly, he empowers us, Jesus does, in his resurrection and by the sending of the Holy Spirit to us to live as he lived, to walk as he walked, to obey as he obeyed. This is what Jesus means when he says he's come to fulfill the law and the prophets. He teaches us how to walk together, even as he offers us forgiveness when we fall short, and as he empowers us through his Holy Spirit to live this way. Now, look at me at verse 18. Jesus says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." What does Jesus mean by that? Well, I think he means lots of things by that. For the sake of this sermon, let me try to summarize as simply and clearly as I can. All right? This is the second point for those of you who are taking notes. If you're wondering, what do I write next? This is what you write next. That these scriptures are to be taken seriously. That's what Jesus means. That the way of living that the scriptures describe and the person to whom they point are to be obeyed and trusted completely. Who's the person to whom the scriptures point? Jesus. It's the second point. It's what Jesus, those three verses, if you wanted to summarize, clarify, simplify, common denominator, reduce it. Jesus is saying the scriptures are meant to be taken seriously. The way of living they describe, the person to whom they point, are to be obeyed and trusted completely. Oh, there's much more that Jesus is saying here. Plenty we could unpack and nuance and theologize. But I think at least that that's the essence of what Jesus is saying. The way of living described and prescribed in this book is to be taken seriously. It's to be trusted and it's to be obeyed. Now, look at verse 19 again. This is what Jesus says. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments, teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. What I think Jesus is talking about here is our posture, our attitude when it comes to the commands of God. To quote Sinclair Ferguson, he wrote, "Our attitude towards the commands of God is an index of our attitude to God himself. If we treat the law lightly and encourage others to do the same, we show that we don't really care about the way of Jesus at all. But if we love and keep even the least of the Lord's commandments, and we encourage others to do the same, that is, if we have a settled attitude of obedience, that is a sure mark that we love Christ and belong to his kingdom. If we love God, then we'll love the things of God. If we love Jesus, we'll love and trust and obey the commands of Jesus. We'll take seriously what he teaches, the way of living and relating to the world and relating to others that's expounded upon in this book. So do we have to be perfect? Is that what Jesus is saying?
No.
Good answer, Annika. He's not saying that there's no missteps allowed. It might seem like that if you relax the teachings even a little bit. Is he saying we have to be perfect? Look at verse 20. Look at this. I don't know. Let's look at verse 20, see what the Bible says. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Hoo boy. I mean, we just said Jesus isn't saying you have to be perfect, but then right there, what does Jesus say? Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What are we going to do with this? Okay. The scribes and the Pharisees are really, really, really good at keeping the law. They're obsessive about keeping the law. They're known to keep it to a T. So what does Jesus mean when he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the very religious people who are perfect at being perfect, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven? Here's what I found myself thinking as I've studied the Sermon on the Mount these last few weeks. And this is my third point for those of you who are taking notes. I know some of you are wondering, what do I scribble in my journal? Third point. True righteousness is found not just in what we do, but in how we do it. True righteousness is found not just in what we do, but in how we do it. This, I think, is what Jesus is going to spend the next chunk of the Sermon on the Mount unpacking. But he's already done it. Is your Bible open? If your Bible is open, look at Matthew chapter 5, just back a little bit, starting at verse 2. You guys have that? If you have an ESV, I want to invite you to read it with me. Okay? Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 2. Ready? And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you and falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What Jesus is describing here is a righteousness that's different from the righteousness of the Pharisees. Oh, it's certainly still a righteousness that obeys God, that obeys the commands of God. He's not saying that just because, he's not saying you don't have to obey ever. That's not what he's saying. It's certainly still a righteousness that obeys the command of God's. But the posture in these Beatitudes is different. It's a posture that's rooted in grace. The how is different. It's marked by humility and a deep love for others. It's like this. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And the Pharisees and the scribes watched Jesus to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to him, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to harm, to save a life or kill?" The scribes and the Pharisees were silent. And Jesus looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man stretched his hand out, and his hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel about how to destroy Jesus. The scribes and the Pharisees are so worried about the letter of the law in Mark 3, that's keep the Sabbath holy, that they miss the point. There's no humility in their posture. There's no grace. There's no care for those who are hurting. Look, Jesus, in Matthew 5, when he says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God," he's not prescribing legalism. He's not looking for a Pharisaical obedience to the law. He's looking for a beatitude obedience to the law. One marked by meekness. An obedience marked by love for God and for others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In the story I just read from Mark, the problem with the righteousness of the Pharisees is that their righteousness is marked by a hardness of heart. Verse 5, and he looked around at them with anger, Jesus did, grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man stretched out his hand, and his hand was restored. What Jesus is looking for is a righteousness marked by hearts that are soft towards God and others. Hearts that are marked by humility and gentleness. Don't get me wrong, Jesus isn't looking for followers who ignore his commands or who don't take the scriptures seriously. He makes that clear in today's verses. But he is looking for followers whose obedience, whose love and trust for the word of God is marked by soft and humble hearts. Okay, so what? Let's review. First, the scriptures, including the Old Testament law and the prophets, all point to Jesus. And so when we read them, when we read this book, we ought to look for Jesus. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, this is his story, all of it. Second, Jesus took the commands of Scripture seriously. And so, if we consider ourselves Christians, disciples of his, learning to walk in the ways of Jesus, we must take the commands of Scripture seriously, just as Jesus did. We ought to love and trust and obey them. But lastly, how we obey the commands of Scripture matters. Lest we end up no better than the Pharisees, with hard hearts towards God and others. Psalm 95 says it like this: "Today, if you would hear God's voice, harden not your heart." And so we ought to read and learn and seek to understand these scriptures with soft and humble hearts, doing as they command, just as Jesus says, but with a beatitude posture. Oh, that God would form us, make us to be a people who know and love and trust and obey his scriptures, but who do so with soft and humble hearts. towards God and others. Will you stand and pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for these commands of scriptures. God, for the way that you teach us about them. And I pray that you would form us to be a people who take your word seriously, who hear it and obey. Oh, but God, would you also form us to be a people with soft hearts towards you, who obey, trust, follow you with hearts that are meek and gentle, humble, and soft towards you and towards others. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.